takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so orient, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rest, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We can change.
We can't hit the unmute button quite enough. And welcome to The Center Path. I'm your host, Jay Parker, here on Revolution.radio. It's February 29, 2024. It's a leap year day. The last day of February. A very special day. And we're live on X. And what Mr. Rudd was talking about, you know, if you can scrape together some money and help Revolution Radio get a streaming server, I know I'm going to pitch in because that's a good thing to do. And I think we all should get together and try to make this happen. Because we're in crunch time, folks. You know, it's like, I'm saving for the future. You don't have a future unless we win this consciousness war. We don't have a future. It's like, oh, I'm saving for my retirement. Well, I hate to tell you, you ought to see what the dark occult are doing. We don't have a future. They've already killed 17 to 24 million people worldwide due to the shot. And if you look at the graphene oxide that's being shed by people that have gotten multiple shots. Let me tell you, we're going into the third year from the shot, which, according to Luc Montagnier, the deceased French Nobel Prize-winning microbiologist, he said, after 3 years, you're going to see people just dropping like flies. And scientists that are honest and doctors that are honest are saying that the mRNA platform, the platform itself, is fatal. So we have 200,000 200 million Americans took the shot. Many were forced to keep their jobs, and one third of those shots were placebo saline solution. So you have, out of the 200 million, you have roughly 140 million people that are on the chopping block. Why do you think they're bringing in millions of newcomers? That's what they're calling them at the White House. They're not illegal aliens. They're newcomers. Well, trust me when I say we really don't have a future. Not under this system. This system is, they have set this up for the last 60 years. For the last 60 years to bring this down completely, to destroy Western civilization in particular, but essentially to do a reset. And, you know, you say, like, well, mud flood, reset, what are you talking about? Hey, go to Rumble and watch Lost History of Flat Earth. And you'll see things in that presentation. And I don't care if you're a flat earther or a globe model. It has nothing to do with consciousness. Really doesn't. I mean, basically, I believe everything we're being told is a lie. You know, and you've got to read between the lines, and you've got to do your own research, and you have to think. Yes, the one thing human beings hate to do, supposedly, according to Bertrand Russell, people would rather die than think. And I'm just saying, really? I mean, just because they've been programmed that their creativity, their inquisitiveness has been beaten out of them by the abuse of the quote-unquote education system, and, you know, that can be woken back up by you telling someone some truth, you know? It's not impossible. I would like to introduce our guest tonight, and I'm trying to get him on as much as I can because, you know, it's the end of the age, and, you know, he happens to have more knowledge about what's really going on in this consciousness training program than most people. You know, they just don't look beyond what's on the TV. They don't ask questions. They don't read books. And Mark Passio is a great teacher. He's got What on Earth is Happening and the One Great Work Network. There's just many content providers, researchers, and great people on One Great Work Network. And I was just saying that if you haven't spent time watching Mark Passio's presentations, you're really ripping yourself off because he's done the work for you. He's scoured the books. He's read and he's listened to the lectures. And he's put the stuff together in easy, bite-sized pieces that baby can ingest it. You know, you just don't have to work that hard to get your head out of the sand. And I just want to say that, you know, he's Tavistock Institute's favorite comedian. And to be Tavistock Institute's favorite comedian, you really have to have your chops. It's not an easy thing. And I'd like to say that, you know, he's the leader of the Eloy Dissatisfaction Party. Also, he is a hypercube gendered two-spirit dragonkin. How you doing tonight, Mark?
Pretty good now. That's awesome.
Hypercube.
Yeah, I like gendered. The Eloy Dissatisfaction Society. That's a good one.
Yes.
Boy, Tavistock's going to have a good cognac, cigar, and diaper party tonight, I'll tell you.
Well, I tell you, the last Sunday when you were talking about, oh, I don't know anything about Satanism, and I was just sitting there laughing to myself.
Like, it's amazing. Oh,
such amazing.
Can you imagine? I get emails from people telling me that I don't know what Satanism is when I was a priest within the religion of Satanism, appointed by one of its faction's high priests directly. I did not seek that position. I did not lobby for that position. Like, basically, in my youth, I was such a de facto Satanist, and I advocated for the position and mentality and ideology and worldview of Satanism to such an extent that the current high priest of the Church of Satan wrote to me to bring me into his organization. Well, not to bring me into the organization, but I should say more accurately, to appoint me to the priesthood of his organization. I was a member of the organization called the Church of Satan back in the mid, as a matter of fact, from the early part of the 1990s. In the later part of the 90s, the high priest of the Church of Satan himself, Anton LaVey, reached out to me to recognize the work that I was doing to spread the satanic ideology out into the world, and appointed me priest into the Church of Satan out of nowhere. But yet there are people who tell me that, having never been involved in Satanism in their entire life, that they know more about Satanism and the dark occult than I do, having actually been a clergy member of one of the world's most recognized satanic organizations that, you know, according to what I understand, acts as a vetting and filtration mechanism to bring people up into the higher ranks of the satanic hierarchy. And people will insist to me, I don't know what Satanism is, yet they do, because their priest or pastor or, you know, family member or whoever else in their life told them about Satanism. And then I say, were you ever involved? What capacity were you involved in? Did you ever have dealings with any formalized organization within the satanic network? Zero. Nada. And they want to tell me, because I tell them Satanism is largely ideological and not about the worship of entities. It can include that. I never said it absolutely, completely disavows that and can't include it. But the majority of Satanists in the world are ideological Satanists, and they are trying to spread the mentality of Satanism. They are trying to spread the worldview of Satanism. They're trying to inculcate and poison people into the worldview of Satanism, which is a belief system. It's a set of beliefs. It's a worldview that makes you think a certain way about yourself, yourself and about other people and about your relationships in the world, far more so than it is about the worship of any entities or the belief in any entities. And because I tell people that, and it conflicts with their absolute BS crap religion and their BS crap religious belief systems, and because their priests and their clergy members have told them it's all about the worship of the devil, you know, that they know more about Satanism than I do, never having been involved in it one millisecond of their entire lives when I was a priest within this worldwide hierarchical network for years. And I don't know what I'm talking about, but they do. Imagine that. Their complete uninformed ignorance that had nothing to do with any life experience is better than all the years of my knowledge actually living that lifestyle. Imagine that.
Well, that reminds me of Isaac Asimov. You know, you think your ignorance is good as my knowledge.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, and that's the problem we have in this society. You know.
Yep. Ill-informed people believing that they know in a state of complete ego. And they're more of an actual Satanist, a de facto Satanist, in their way that their mind functions than they even understand. And I keep trying to tell them, I'm not trying to tell you what Satanism is to undermine you. I'm trying to explain to you what Satanism really is because I'm trying to help you get out of it. I'm trying to help you to free yourself from this mindset, from this worldview, from this set of ideologies and belief systems that have enslaved you and the rest of humanity. I'm trying to give you the other team's playbook that they're beating your rear end senseless with. They've been running the same plays for thousands of years, and the opposing team still can't recognize their playbook and their set of plays. They haven't altered their system of plays in their attack, in their vectors of attack, for thousands of years. And humanity is still so dumb, so egotistical, so ill-educated that they still cannot recognize this playbook when they haven't altered a thing in it for thousands of years. And I'm trying to hand them the playbook and tell you, listen, I was on the inside. I know the plays they're going to run. Here's the playbook. I'm handing it to you. You don't even have to even do the level of research that I did. I'm distilling it down for you and handing you their playbook out in the open for you to read. And people say, screw you, you don't know anything. My priest told me everything that I need to know. My religion told me everything I need to know. And I'm going to go right back to getting my rear end whooped senseless because I won't listen to somebody that was actually on the inside, that defected and took the playbook with them. And you know what the Satanists told me? They told me, go ahead and do that. Because the public is so dumb. They're so inculcated. They're so ill-informed. They're so completely inured. And they are so going to latch onto their belief systems and stay there unto their death, that you can go and try to bring them that playbook, and they'll deride, mock, and ridicule you until the day you die. And I wish I could say that they were incorrect.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there have been some breakthroughs in the last 15, 20 years, like the fact that we're epigenetic creatures, that, you know, more people know about the programmable state now than have known about the programmable state. And I'm talking, unless you're a cult, you know, you never knew that your first 7 years of life, you were getting programmed. And now there's many people that are aware of that.
Yes, it was occult knowledge in the past and kept like that until, again, the breakthroughs in epigenetic science. That is definitely for sure.
Not nearly as much as I'd like, but, It's a start.
It's a rudimentary beginning. I will grant that. It certainly hasn't made its way out into what I would consider mainstream knowledge or common sense, but at least it's not as occulted as it once was.
Well, it hasn't been on TV, Mark.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only device that tells you the truth is the television. I mean, come on. What do you want people to do, read books? You expect them to break open a book? What are those things? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, I think so.
Re-adding, I think it's called.
I was wondering tonight if we could talk a little bit about Hollywood and the fact, you know, Dick Gregory said Hollywood tells you what they did in the past, what they're doing presently, and what they intend for the future. And,
absolutely.
And I look at, you know, like things like I Am Legend, where they literally have a movie out that says they're going to give you a vaccine for cancer and it's going to wipe everybody
devastate
out.
Devastate the population. Absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know.
See, some of the biggest occult sorcerers in the world are in Hollywood. That's what people have to understand. You know, this is all about telling people the story that they want you to accept and believe. And then you act in a self-fulfilling prophecy to actually make it come true. You know, that's what the most advanced sorcerers do. They don't even need to make it happen themselves. They put an idea into people's heads and the people make it happen for them. You know, I'm actually planning a presentation at some point in the future, maybe the not too immediate future. I don't like to promise things and then not be able to deliver them in a certain time frame. So I'll say it's a little bit out there into the future. But I have been kicking it around in the old noggin and possibly getting ready to work on it soon. It's going to be called The Occult War Inside Hollywood. And it's a departure from the type of work that I've usually done, which is strictly about the more scholarly aspects of the occult world, and is going to go into popular culture a little bit. It's something that I've had in the planning stages for a while, but haven't really, you know, gone into the detailed aspects of yet. But it's something that I think I will put out in the, you know, near years to come. Hopefully, if we're all still around, and I think it will be, it'll, you know, provide a nice framework for people who want to look at this from a popular cultural point of view, to see what is really going on within the storytelling aspect of Hollywood in particular. Because they're, let's face it, they're, both sides are within there. You can't, people have to get out of this mindset that it's all negative and bad and there's only evil. No, there is not. There is plenty of people out there who put out fantastic spiritual allegories in our world. And, you know, we have to understand that there are both sides represented. You have certainly the dark side, which is the majority of it, represented in the Hollywood sphere. But, there are definitely what I would call light magicians and people who have studied the occult from a beneficial and positive perspective who are also injecting allegorical content into the world of Hollywood and popular culture. And there's many great movies that teach valuable moral lessons in that regard.
I noticed that with this kind of satanic in-your-face attack, that there seems to be some pushback going on now, culturally, where people like Tom McDonald, the white rapper, it's just like, oh, you know, you believe this? F you, you know? Just right in your face saying, it's bull. And, right. And where people are saying that gender is a spectrum, it's like, no, it isn't. It's biology. There's right. only two genders. I don't care what twisting you do mentally, what sure. gymnastics you do. You're either male or female. It's in your chromosomes in your DNA. Right. And you can never change that, no matter how much surgery you do or how many drugs sure. you take.
Let's face it, there's a biological distinctiveness between sex, which is physical gender, and mental identification of gender. You could do whatever people want to do with mental identification of gender. I don't really care what people do with that. If you want to identify as whatever, go right ahead. That's your right in your own business, and I'm not really involved in that process. All I really care about when I'm interacting with a human being is whether they really know the difference between right and wrong behavior, and they really truly care about human freedom and are trying to increase human freedom instead of destroying it. But let's face facts. There is distinctive biological gender, and that's a dichotomy. That's a binary breakdown. And then there is other identified mental ways of viewing gender, and that's not biological, you know, the biological component to sex, which is physical gender. I don't think anybody who really understands those aspects of science is going to truly debate that. But unfortunately, that's the kind of, you know, twisted mindset and belief systems that people get into is pushing the envelope too far. You can have your beliefs and identifications regarding who you are. No problem with that. That's someone's individual decision. But don't try to tell the rest of the world that, you know, blue is pink and, you know, that there's more than two biological sexes.
Yeah, it's I saw a clip where Riley Gaines, who had a run-in with Leah Thomas, the swimmer from Penn, mm-hmm. who tied her in a championship race, and they gave the trophy to Leah.
Oh, boy.
And it was like, you know, what's going on here?
I think the neo-feminists kind of got what they deserved in an ironic way. They got what they asked for in an ironic way. You know, they're pushing this woke agenda in many cases, and biological men, infiltrated into women's sports through that agenda and have devastated it in many ways. And it's like, in a way, you know, I don't know how sorry I can feel, because a lot of neo-feminists championed that, and a lot of biological females, who wanted to somehow champion that woke agenda went along with it, and now many of them are finding themselves in a position where they really can't participate in the ways that they used to in female sports, because men have come in and not only dominated in certain sports but have injured and maimed biological women by competing in their divisions. And in one way, it's very sad to see. And in another way, it's highly ironic and sometimes even difficult for me to feel all that sorry for what they tended to ask for. It's a very interesting dynamic that I tend to feel, torn when I look at it.
Well, this whole thing of there's no difference between men or women, and men can menstruate and men can get pregnant. It's like, no, they can't. We're talking insanity here. And when you have professors in college spouting this stuff, it's like, I'm going to flunk my class unless I agree with the professor. You know, it's like, whoa, back up. We need to talk about this.
Right. It's a part of the agenda of promoting confusion and mm-hmm. not having people settle into a natural state, because they have pushed so much divisiveness and they want the gender divide to be one of the leading divides, especially between men and women, because that's the largest 50-50 breakdown in society between biological men and women. It's something that I'm talking a lot about in my current work on my podcast, What on Earth is Happening. I'm revisiting this topic that I did back in 2016, which is called the unholy feminine, neo-feminism, and the satanic epigenetics agenda, which is all about how they are attempting to destroy the sexes by pitting them at war with each other, bringing in all of these issues of sexual confusion, bringing in these issues of masculinizing women and feminizing men, which will weaken society in the long term, because the familial bond that is created between men and women is often one of the things that will strengthen society and create a natural, strong relationship between people and help them to be able to lean on and support each other through not only difficult times, but through the understanding of what's being actively done to them in the present moment. And the Satanists of our world don't want to see that type of strength. They want to promote weakness, both in a mental capacity, in a physical capacity, and in a familial capacity when it comes to society at large. And they're doing that epigenetically. Again, if you study the science of epigenetics, you understand that that is the ability to change the expressions of what happens outwardly in society, not only through the individual, but through the aggregate of the species, by changing thought processes and consciousness in general. And this is what the eugenicists of our world want to do. They, and I, again, in my work, I really call them dysgenicists. They are promoting worsening characteristics, more weakness, more psychological and mental weakness in our society, leading to more physical weakness. And that is one of the hallmarks of this agenda. They don't want strong biological men and women in our society, because if that's strong and there's a strong bond between them, there's a far less active likelihood that these Satanists who are trying to weaken and eventually cull humanity will succeed in their long-term agendas. So this is something that I find profoundly important to study and really understand what's really going on epigenetically. And that's why I revisited it this season on my live video show and podcast.
Well, you're doing some excellent work. I mean, the boys at Tavistock are eating it up.
Yeah, right. I'm sure they're like, oh boy, you know, he's actually trying to get this message out to the dullards who are out there and get them to understand what we're doing to them. Again, you know, the CDC party is just going swimmingly over in the city of London.
I'm just amazed that, like, Yuri Bezmenov did a interview with G. Edward Griffin about 25 years ago, I believe it was.
Great interview. Yes, I know it well.
And everything Yuri Bezmenov, the former KGB agent, you know, said as far as he gave the communist playbook.
Yes.
Right there on a silver platter. They're yep. going to do this, and then when they do this, they're going to do this, and then they're going to do this. And just like everything he said in that interview, ta-da!
Yep. It starts with demoralization, progresses through destabilization, and then there's a coup or an act of conquest, and then there's a reintegration of their ideologies into the general public. And that's how they completely take over. And we're well into that agenda. And one of the terms that you have to really listen for in that interview, if you watch it, again, the interview between G. Edward Griffin and Yuri Bezmenov, the former KGB agent and defector, which, again, is just absolutely a brilliant interview. And if you really, truly listen to the plan of attack, the vector of attack that Bezmenov is laying out in this great interview, you have to listen for the term active measures. Active measures is the term in the intelligence community that is used for psychological warfare. they actively don't even call it PSYOPs or psychological warfare. They use the term active measures. You'll actually hear certain politics, certain politicians, I should say, who actively bring out this term. And many people, when they're saying it in an interview, don't even know that they're talking about mind control. They're talking about psychological warfare. They're talking about misleading the public with misinformation and disinformation and putting it out into society so that people latch on to lies and then they change their behavior by getting them to believe that what they're telling them is true when they know that they're completely misleading them and the information they're giving them is completely false. So understand that that term active measures in that interview means mind control and psychological warfare.
I just look at what has happened with the black community in America. You know, it started with, you know, Eazy-E and some of the hip hop guys back in L.A. in the early 90s and late 80s, and how the CIA brought in the cocaine for the crack epidemic.
Sure.
And did the hip-hop and the gangbang culture, and they succeeded in turning that entire culture on its head. It's just like...
There were some good rappers talking about, you know, the control that the whole political system had over people in the early days of rap. But again, they quickly co-opted it. That's one of the things that the Satanic Network does. They infiltrate and co-opt. And because they can't create anything truly new or unique themselves. They don't have that creative ability. You know, all it can do is distort. All it can do is twist and distort something that already exists, because true creation is a reflection of the creator, and they don't have that reflection because their soul dead, and all they can really do in a satanic capacity is try to twist and distort. And that's what they did with the early days of hip hop and rap, and then they turned it into that CIA operation of gangster rap that was all about just egotism and money and getting over on your fellow human being, which is all about Satanism. They injected the satanic ideology into that. And it's a shame, because I don't think rap is a bad art form. I listen to a bit of it myself, and I enjoy conscious rap that is singing about enlightening topics and trying to educate their fellow human beings through the incredible, often, lyrics that are infused into the music and beats. If you find some really good conscious rap, I think it's some of the best storytelling out there in a very conservative use of words. They can say so much in so little time and with so little actual expounding on words, that they compact a message into the song and can say so much in 2 to 3 minutes time that it's amazing. So I think it really was a disservice to the whole African American culture and community, the intelligence agency co-opting of the hip hop and rap scene. That's why I tell people, if you are going to listen to that, definitely check out the more conscious bands out there, the more conscious rap artists, because they have a lot to say, and they're doing a good. Those who are conscious are doing a good job putting that message out there into that community.
Well, that's why Tom McDonald is so popular.
Right.
I mean, he's just, what you're saying is a bunch of BS, and here's the truth. And I think of some of the videos I've seen of Professor Griff talking about the entire history of rap, and he tried to tell the black community that, hey, this is a CIA active measure.
Right.
It has nothing to do with our culture. This is BS. Reject it.
And we have to do that with so many cultural co-opting and psyops that are out there. It's in just about everything. You know, it infiltrates everything from public schooling to, again, Hollywood and popular culture, music, certainly the education system. The intelligence agency occult operations extend into just about every human institution. One of the best books on the very topic, of course, is the brilliant book called Mass Control, The Engineering of Human Consciousness by the author Jim Keith. And that book was written on these topics back in the late 90s. And Keith was probably assassinated. He was probably murdered for the writing
book. There's no doubt he was murdered, Mark.
Right.
I mean, he went in for a simple knee scope job because he jumped off a stage and hurt his knee. Went in for outpatient
right.
knee scope
surgery. Right.
And
right.
They killed him.
Yeah. I believe that's very possible. Absolutely. And that's not above anything that they could pull off. And, you know, you look at things like Stan Meyer and the water fuel cell, mm-hmm. the possibility of running, converting combustion engines into a water cell and devastating the alleged fossil fuel industry, the gasoline industry, you know, big oil. And, you know, he's found, dead, having been in a restaurant and, telling people that he's actively being poisoned, collapses, and you know gets rushed to the hospital and is dead on arrival. This is standard operating procedure.
And you have Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers goes in for a outpatient treatment, and that's
she
the
had
end
just
of
told
her.
The world that Michelle Obama was
a
trans.
Man.
Yes. Yep.
A man. I don't believe it. I mean, come on, folks. I mean, take one look at her. Her shoulders are bigger than mine.
Yeah, than most guys, actually.
Yeah, well, I tell you, the thing that I want people to understand, and this is what you're going in with the epigenetic part, is with Dr. Bruce Lipton and Dr. Joe Dispenza. Joe Dispenza, in his meditations, has dealt with many people using the meditative technique to get some of the dormant 95% of our DNA active to cure incurable diseases. And he has got so many testimonies by people that use the meditative technique to talk to their bodies, to talk to their DNA, and said, you can do this, you've got the ability, and bam, they cure themselves of things that the doctor said there's no cure for that. So I'm just saying that we have 95% of our DNA dormant right now. That's ridiculous, Mark.
It's part of what they want to keep hidden from people is what we would be capable of if we truly step into our own power and start to make the recognition of what the human mind is capable of doing. They want that to remain occulted. They want that to remain a secret that they possess and they know, but the rest of humanity remains ignorant to. And, part of what this is all about is the understanding of the first hermetic principle of the occult world. And that is that everything stems from the mind. Everything flows from mind. The universe flows from mind. The universe flows from the mind of the creator, which is ultimately everything that there is. Everything that we create ultimately flows from mind. If our society is in a deplorable condition, and it is. It is in a condition of slavery and degeneration. That is a symptom that the mind is in a degenerate state. If we heal the mind and we think differently and we heal our worldview and we take on a better worldview and we tell ourselves and our entire civilization a different, better, story that leads to a more moral way of life, then we are going to see positive, beneficial changes in the long term in the 3D physical reality that we all experience. Everything stems from thought and mind. And when I present my work, I often hear the ridiculous assertion that I'm not presenting any solutions. And that's because people are so stuck in a dumbed down, completely one-dimensional view of thinking. And it often comes from the way that they were taught in their indoctrination system, laughingly called school, laughingly called an education system. It often comes from the horrendous ideas that their what I should not call parents taught to them. What we should come up with a different term for complete failures as parents. You know, reject parents, non-parents. You know, wretched, abominable ideas of parents. Whatever you want to call it, they're not really parents. They're laughably called parents. The ideas that they instilled in their young. And they're not seeing that the real solution is not a process of memorize these steps and repeat them verbatim, and they're physical tasks for you to perform. This is the exact same thing that I try to explain to people first and foremost in my technology seminar called How to Become the True Media that I teach yearly to potential content creators of this type of information. I explain to them, and this is our very first principle in the seminar. The very first principle that's taught in this technology seminar is called Concept is King. And let me repeat that so people clearly hear what I just said. The concept is king, okay? The concept is the paramount important idea from which everything else flows. If you do not understand the conceptual idea behind the action, any action that you subsequently take is long-term, ultimately meaningless, because you're not understanding the why. You're not understanding why to take the action. So you never start with learning the action. You start with learning the conceptual idea and why you're performing the conceptual idea. Then the intermediary steps, the details, all of the linear tasks come second. They come secondary to the primary and most important thing, which is getting the mind in order and fully understanding why you have to understand the concept and why the concept is going to lead to the details and the linear tasks. You never memorize linear tasks in computing, because tomorrow the program could change. Tomorrow the operating system could change. Tomorrow your workflow could change. So you don't memorize tasks like a trained monkey. This is insanity. You know, if you'd memorize linear tasks like a trained monkey, and then your whole interface, your whole operating system, your whole application or program, your whole workflow changes, the linear tasks are meaningless. They don't mean anything in that moment after that change of environment happens. It's the same thing with life. People believe erroneously, falsely, that there's going to be some set of linear tasks to perform. And you have to tell them, like trained monkeys, go out and do this. Do this step. Step one, do this task. Step two, do this physical task. Step three, do this physical task. That's not a solution. That's trained monkey programming. A real solution comes from a person having a deep understanding of what needs to change and why. all of the potential linear tasks come well after the conceptual understanding and are not nearly as important as the conceptual understanding, and quite frankly, would be utterly meaningless without the conceptual understanding. And do you know what I find? Sadly, what my analysis is of humanity and the job that it's doing in really recognizing the real solution, that's my analysis. Humanity hasn't learned a thing about the real solution. They want to remain trained monkeys doing linear tasks. So they look at someone like me who is trying to help them to change their thinking process. And that's the root underlying causal factor of why they fail. They stay in the same thought process. And they don't understand that changing the thoughts is the solution to the problem. Because when you change the thoughts, you are epigenetically changing how you're approaching the problem, and therefore you can then enact the solution in a natural, flowing, dynamic way, regardless of how the environmental factors change over time. They don't want to hear that. Unsophisticated, dumb people don't want to hear that because they don't understand the occult world. They don't understand the beneficial and positive aspects of real occult thought. They're stuck in linear, task-based thinking. And when you're stuck in dumb monkey, dumb trained monkey, linear task-based thinking, you cannot see the real solution because your mind is in reaction and reactive mode instead of being in true creativity mode and in true causal factor mode. And that's why dumb people will say to someone who's hyper-intelligent, such as myself, and I'm not being some falsely humble person. I recognize my innate and worked for intelligence, and I'm not going to be falsely humble about it. I'm hyper intelligent. I'm far more intelligent than most people on this planet, sadly. And I shouldn't be. We should generally be about around the same intelligence level if we all kind of worked at it and stopped accepting that we just have to exist in this unidimensional, trained, monkey thinking state. So I'm not going to sugarcoat my words and tell you, oh, I know that I know nothing and I'm just a humble guy and I'm just not, no, just average intelligence. No, I'm a hyper intelligent person because I've not only truly worked at that, but in a very beneficial and fortunate way, I was provided with a lot of the factors and tools when I was young to work my consciousness into that state. So it's a confluence of factors that come together to allow me to be that way. But, you know, not to belabor that too much, I don't want to be falsely humble and say, oh, I'm just average. I'm above average in that respect, and I'm that way for a reason. I'm teaching people, and I'm out in front teaching people, if they will work upon themselves to really hear what I'm saying and really attempt to bring their consciousness upward. Because if they do that, they'll recognize where the flaw was in their thinking previously and where the flaw is in humanity's thinking in general, in the big sense. And they'll realize that you have to look into the real occult teachings, which have been hidden by the dark occultists for centuries upon centuries to keep us ignorant and keep us enslaved. And if we understand that first principle, that everything stems and flows from the mind and from our thoughts, we're going to understand largely how we are unconsciously right now co-creating in the aggregate or collective sense in humanity as a species is co-creating altogether our shared reality of the condition of slavery, on this planet. If we change the way we think and we change our worldview and we develop an accurate understanding of causal factors that have led to the current human condition of slavery, then we're putting ourselves as a species in a very advantageous position to be able to truly bring ourselves out of that condition. And this is unfortunately what I see as humanity's greatest failure. We're dumb, trained monkeys that insist the solution will come in the form of give me task number one to perform, then give me task number two to perform, then give me task, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to perform. And I'm sorry to break the news to all the dumb, trained monkeys out there, but that is not how reality functions. It is not how it will ever work, and it is never going to be the answer or the solution to getting humanity out of slavery. We have to become hyper-intelligent. We have to become adaptive in our understanding. We have to go beyond linear, trained monkey tasks, and we have to see the causal factors, and we have to move our minds into the mindset of deeply understanding the conceptual idea and applying it in the present moment to whatever environmental conditions present themselves. And when you have that kind of knowledge, which is deeply occulted or hidden knowledge, then you're going to be in a position to really solve something. And the answer is we have to take our mindset out of the consciousness called Satanism. And we have to bring it into a consciousness that is in harmony and flow with the actual laws of the creator of the universe, the laws of nature, the hidden laws of nature, those which are, yes, hidden from our low consciousness level understanding. They may even be hidden from our physical eyes. They're not readily seen by the physical eyes. It's not like a physical law. It's not like something like you light a match, you touch that to something that's flammable, it bursts into flame. That's a very visible aspect of the natural world. These laws that I'm talking about, far less visible.
Well, we've reached the halfway point. We're going to have to take a break, and we'll be back with more passive from What on Earth is Happening in a moment.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction. On Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com. Thank you.
my time, 2 hours of an organization to the madness, discussing the ever-changing dynamics of being both physically and mentally prepared for a plethora of possible outcomes to our future and present. A look into the latest technologies, new scientific discoveries, and how they might be used in connection to the human domain and controlling it, ancient cultures and places. Be warned. This is an opinionated look through headlines. Guests that are not afraid to question the narrative. A little bit of crazy ramblings of a stoner conspiracy factist that pushes constitutional concepts. The place and the time are the same, another dimension we call Mountain High Time. Saturdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Mountain High Time. Right here on Revolution.radio, where information never sleeps and truth breaks the spell.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of 6 hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal Lotus O deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every 7th conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
And we're back. This is the Center Path. Host Jay Parker speaking. I just wanted to say to everyone, if you can pitch in for the new server to help us live stream our shows. You know, we're trying to raise $1,300. It's not much. And there's a lot of people out there. This is, would be a good time to give a donation to Revolution.radio. Anyway, we're talking tonight to Mark Passio in our ongoing series, At the End of the Age of Pisces. And basically, you know, what does the human race need to do? And we need to declare our sovereignty and put our consciousness ahead of our body and declare that we are in alignment and harmony with the higher power. And to do that takes an act of willpower to reprogram your subconscious and conscious mind. It doesn't happen by putting a match to a gallon of gasoline or whatever. It's poof. I'm there. It takes time. I'm not saying that you can't have an epiphany as far as revelation of God and your place in the world, as far as that goes. I'm just saying, to really know what you should do and who you are takes shadow work and time. There is effort required. Anyway, Mark, you were talking about many things, but I wanted discuss a little bit about your discussion of epigenetic and the way we are being poisoned and twisted into this mindset of satanic negativity and warping of reality.
Absolutely. I spent about a year and a half on my own podcast called What on Earth is Happening that I started back in 2010, talking about all of the methods of mind control and manipulation that are used against the human species. Literally went into all the details of all the methods of manipulation that they use against us for almost a year and a half of time on that broadcast. Yes. And, you know, unfortunately, what I feel came out of that series was people being too much of an apologist for humanity, because I went so deep into all of the multi-layered ways that we are deceived that a lot of people took the attitude, it's all the elitists, it's all the globalists, the occultists, it's all their fault. And I had to really pull back from that for a moment and say, you can't look at it that way. We can't just blame people at the top. This idea that the fish rots from the head is not correct. I'm sorry, but it is not correct and true. We don't need a reevaluation of leadership and a reform there. We need to get out of our minds the notion that there should be quote unquote leadership, certainly not authority. We can have leadership in the sense of people setting a good example and being way showers for other people who may not be quite as sharp on the uptake, if you know what I mean, right? There's nothing wrong with that kind of leadership or way showing. But when we look at it like these are the people who are in charge, these are the people who are going to direct humanity, these are the people that we have to listen to in every aspect of life and follow their orders. Now we're getting into very horrible territory of abdicating our personal responsibility to learn and grow for ourselves and to do our own shadow work, our own research and edification and our own
Mark. All we need is a better king.
And what better king than King Trump? I mean,
all we need is a better king.
That's right. And King Trump is going to take care of all of humanity, you know, as soon as he gets in there.
Wave his Hollywood wand and everything will be fine.
You got it. So, you know, again, it really comes down to worldview. It comes down to what are your thoughts? Do you believe there should be leaders and authority and decision makers and people who tell other people what to do? Or do you think people should all together develop common sense, become truly educated and enlightened, and humanity move forward into the future together in a leaderless capacity, because we all have the information we need to make correct decisions? And then it comes down to, what do you believe you're capable of doing? And if you believe you're capable of rising above and you're capable of bettering yourself, then you have to extend that to everybody else around you. There can't be rules for thee, but not for me. See, natural law applies to everybody, and we all have the same rights. And this is the problem. People don't know what human rights are. And more dangerous and far worse, they don't know what wrongdoings are. We as a species don't really know the difference between right and wrong behavior. And that's the entire reason that we are collectively enslaved. See, when you talked about earlier in this segment, people, they want solutions. They say that they want solutions, and they think it's something that you tell them to do, that they have to do. And one of the reasons people don't really truly like my work, a lot, some small percentage of people will say that they like my work, and some really do, some genuinely like it, but most people who ever hear my work, and I track these dynamics, and I have ways of tracking them. One of the ways of tracking them, it's not the only way, but it's a fairly accurate way, believe it or not, is I look at the bounce rate of my own website. The bounce rate of a website means how many people come to your site one time and never come back, meaning they come to it, they look around, and they say, screw this, I'm not interested. This is not for me. I don't care about this. And that IP address comes and goes and is never to be seen again. That's called the bounce rate. My website has a very abnormally high bounce rate, meaning almost all the people who ever have visited my website never come back to it. And some people will say, oh, that's because your website isn't made right or isn't organized right or the content's poor. No, incorrect on all those accounts. My website is great. It has phenomenal content. It's very easily organized and navigable. And if you can't do those things, you're pretty stupid, quite frankly. I'm just going to put it out there to people. If you think my website's disorganized, the information isn't top quality, or somehow there's something wrong with what I've done to present my information, the problem isn't with me, it's with you, period. And that's factual. That's not my opinion. That's actual point of fact reality. Because I fully understand, I did it professionally for many years, I fully understand how to organize and optimize and put content onto a website and make it aesthetically attractive and make it easily navigable and functional, period. So this gauges the dynamic for me that almost 9 out of 10 never, ever hit my website even twice. Think about that for a moment. 90%, it's just under 90%. It's maybe around 88%. But almost 9 out of 10 people come to What on Earth is Happening, out of all the people who ever come to it, which is a small percentage of humanity to begin with, right? Then 9 out of 10 say, I want nothing to do with this. Imagine that, Jay. Imagine that. Picture the number that never knows about any part of my work. That's most of humanity. Out of the people that have ever discovered it, 9 out of 10 say, screw this, I want nothing to do with it. And yet I'm handing them the answer, literally handing it to them on a platter. This shows you where humanity's mindset is at in general. This is a perfect gauge for the consciousness of the planet as a whole. They're not ready. They're not ready to receive. Most people are not even ready to receive the solution because they do not want to hear that the actual solution, conceptually, the conceptual solution, as I've talked about in the first segment in the last hour of the program tonight, the conceptual solution does not even come in the affirmative form. And what I mean by that is the solution itself is not something that you need to do. The solution is not affirmative. It is apophatic. Apophatic. I'll spell that for people who want to even look it up. This is actually a theological term that really, if you extend the term out of the theological space, it really is a term that really shows you the pathway to what you either need to learn or to do or not do. Okay. Apophatic is spelled APOPHATIC. APOAPOPHATIC. PHATIC. Apophatic. This is a theological term that means that you come to know a thing by describing what it is not. It literally comes from the Greek apophane, which means to say no, to say what something isn't, to describe something by describing what it is not instead of what it is. This is an apophatic inquiry into something. So the term is apophatic. That's the adjective. The noun would be apophysis. Apophysis means you're going to come to know something by saying what it isn't. And here's the real magic in this. The solution is not what we need to do affirmatively. The solution is what we need to stop doing. The solution itself is apophatic. It means humanity does not need to do anything new. We do not need to do new behaviors. We do not need to interject new systems. We don't need to invent new technology. We don't need to have new and reformed ways of cooperating with each other or interacting with each other. We don't need new monetary systems. We don't need new tech. We don't need a new cryptocurrency. We don't need new ways of growing food, etc. The entirety of the solution to solving the problem of human slavery lies in what we need as a species to stop doing and to stop condoning be done. Let me give you some examples and show you where probably the bulk of even people who are listening on this network fall short. And that's why the solution is not actually occurring. The opposite of the solution is occurring. We're going deeper into bondage and slavery. Here's how the apophatic solution works. First, you have to know what morality is. This is getting your worldview and your thoughts and your head and your consciousness in the right place. This is aligning your thoughts and your behavior to natural law, to the laws of the creator of the universe, to true morality. And that means that you know what behaviors are rights because you know what behaviors are wrongs. See, a right is defined in the apophatic, in the negative. You have to define a right as something that you do that does not do something else. Again, a negative definition, meaning it's a right because you don't do this thing when performing it. So here's the definition of a human right that 99.999% of every human being on this planet cannot properly define. They cannot even properly define what a right, a human right, is definitionally. Imagine that they believe they're going to keep rights or that they're going to expand and have the amount of rights that they have that have been curtailed from them and usurped from them. A right is an action that does not initiate harm to another sentient being. That is the correct moral definition of what a human right is, which almost every human being alive on this planet cannot properly define. If you cannot properly define something, you do not know what it is. If you do not know what it is, you definitely can't possess it. If you don't know what it is, you definitely can't defend it. If you don't know what it is, you definitely can't keep it. And almost every human being on this planet cannot properly define a human right. They want to believe rights are physical things, or rights are, I have access to something, or rights are needs. They conflate needs and rights. Oh, rights are food, shelter, water, clothing, etc. No, those are not rights. Those are needs. Rights are actions, number one. What defines the type of action that a right is? It does not, apophatically, negatively, it does not initiate harm, create harm through the initiatory process, meaning you are beginning the behavior that initiates harm to any other living sentient being. And that includes not only human beings, but any sentient being, any being that has sentience, which means it has cognitive ability to recognize itself and experience harm in and of itself. And that is the animal kingdom as well. No, plants are not sentient. People will insist that plants are sentient. Plants are a part of the system of the earth being. It's like hair on an arm. The hair on the arm isn't sentient. The being that has the hair on the arm is sentient. It's a part of a sentient being, but it is not a sentient being in and of itself. The plants are connected to the earth, grow from the earth, and are part of the system that the being, the earth, is, but it is not a being in and of itself. And people conflate that. That's why anima, which all of the animal kingdom, including human beings, are a part of, is the Latin word for spirit, that which has breath. Okay? The spiro spirare, the Latin term which spirit comes from, means to breathe. which is why conspiracy is the word, to live and breathe together, to have the same goals, to have the same agendas. To conspire is to breathe together, literally, from its Latin origins, etymologically. So going back to the apophatic solution, we have to understand that there is nothing new to do or to create. We have to stop doing behaviors that we are currently doing that are morally wrong, that are outside of the laws of nature, outside of the moral laws of the creator of the universe. This is what people don't want to hear. They don't want to hear you yourself are actively doing things that are immoral and actively condoning things that are immoral. And because you refuse to stop doing them, you are causing and creating more transgressions against the laws of the creator of the universe, and therefore actually invoking from the universe more chaos, more slavery, more death and destruction. And people do not want to acknowledge that. They want to believe that their thoughts and behaviors are perfectly okay, are perfectly morally legitimate, are perfectly morally justified and justifiable out into the world in a wider sense. When in fact, most people's thoughts are completely out of alignment with morality. And they have been taught a false morality that religious traditions teach them, or culture teaches them, or government teaches them, or the schooling system teaches them, or their parents taught them, that have nothing to do with genuine morality in nature that is put there by the creator, not by a religious institution, not by any institution of mankind. This is the difference between the natural world, which has the real morality embedded and inherent within it, versus the world of artificial constructs, the minds of human beings that are morally relative in most cases. And here are the seven things that transgress the laws of the Creator that we should never do and we should never condone. They are the true seven deadly sins as opposed to the false seven deadly sins of religion. They are murder, assault, rape, theft, trespass, coercion, and deception. And how many people do these on a daily basis, and how many people condone these things on a daily basis? Let me give you the biggest, foremost example that even people are stuck in who listen to this network, who are listening to this interview right now. They believe that there's such a thing as morally legitimate authority vested in human beings. And this is simply the idea that some people can command others. That is called coercion. Coercion means you're going to actively command somebody else. And what we euphemize this as is authority and law. That's what we euphemize it as. Laws are not necessarily in alignment with true objective morality of the creator of the universe, which is don't do the seven things that are the seven sins, that are the seven transgressions against morality. Murder, assault, rape, theft, trespass, coercion, deception. Just don't do those seven things. Every one of those seven things is a form of theft. If you condone authority, you are condoning the theft of someone else's free will and ability to make decisions for themselves instead of being coerced into something. If you condone taxation, you are condoning the theft of people's labor, the product of their labor, and therefore you're condoning the theft of their body, which they use to produce the labor and produce the fruit of their labor. That's called slavery. That's called violence. That's called coercion. Propagating the belief in that is called deception, which most people are involved in one capacity or another, whether they're willfully doing that or they're doing it unconsciously and teaching it to their young in a state of ignorance. Coercion is everywhere. Violence is everywhere. Assault on people that don't want to comply, even though they're not doing anything harmful. Murder of people to do that. This is what people condone when they condone government, when they condone laws created by government, which are morally relativistic and based on coercion and violence and ultimately are a form of slavery. You are taking the position that the person who is the authority figure is God, because that's what they want. Satanism is the inversion of the authority of the true God of creation, the author of all true laws in the universe, especially moral law. And what man wants is to usurp the position of the creator of the universe and become God and create his own laws called government. Anybody that believes in that, you are part of the ultimate grand deception of man becoming God and forcing their coercive laws onto everybody else and enslaving everybody under man. That is what government is. And if you don't think so, you are simply wrong and dumb. And I'm just going to come out and say it just like that and challenge your ego head to head. You're not as smart as you think you are. If you don't understand that there is no such thing as authority that is truly morally vested in man in a moral, legitimate capacity, there's no such thing as that. You are immoral and stupid. And I'm going to repeat something that I said in a former broadcast that I did. And I'm going to start reemphasizing this over and over and over and over again. There is a saying, two sayings from the ancient world that are part of overall occult knowledge that has been withheld from humanity for centuries, but I hope is beginning to reemerge as a part of a moral occult resurgence and revival, which I'm trying to bring about. And if you're still triggered by the word occult, you're really dumb and don't understand it's just hidden knowledge that has to come to the forefront and come to light for humanity to become enlightened and to truly change for the better. It does not mean it's something negative. That's why I delineate the term occult from dark occult. There's a difference. They are not the same thing. It is the same knowledge, but it is used in a different capacity. True occultism is used to enlighten. Dark occultism is used to deceive, control, and enslave. So these two occult maxims or sayings or principles, however you want to look at it, the first one is, when all of the occult knowledge of the world through the mystery traditions was disseminated out into humanity and into the world at large, originally in the ancient past, nine parts were given to ancient Egypt or the land called Kemet, and one part was given to all of the rest of the nations of humanity. Nine parts, 90%, was given and vested in the hands of ancient Egypt. One part was given to the rest of humanity, 10%. And that is something I've found to be so true in my dealings with the occult, in my exploration and study of the occult knowledge, that I cannot even tell you how profound that statement is. I believe Manly P. Hall said that. It might have been someone that he studied who originally said it and he quoted. I'm not positive. Don't hold me to who the original person who the quote is attributed to is. I don't have that information handy right now. The second part of it is, in ancient Egypt and in the mystery traditions thereof, there was a saying, and that saying was simply this: ignorance is evil. And let me say that again. Ignorance is evil. And ignorance means you're not learning and growing in the way that you should, even though the knowledge that you need to really have within you and really come to know is present in your active environment. Now, let me say that again, because I am not talking about the inability to know something. I am talking about the ability to know something is present because all of the knowledge and all of the building blocks of that knowledge are present in one's active present environment. But what the person does is they refuse to take in and receive that knowledge because of other mental and psychological blocks that they have in their mind from previous engagements, whether it be through schooling or government or religion or any other institution of humanity, that those things that they believe in that are not actual knowledge, but are belief systems blocking the way to true knowledge, they cannot eliminate and get out of their way as a roadblock. and therefore they stay in an active, willful state of not knowing. See, nescience means you don't know because the knowledge is not present in your environment. You can't know because you don't have access to the actual data. That's different, and that's not what I'm talking about. I am not talking about nescience. That is a different form of not knowing something. That is not knowing through no fault of your own, because the data that you require to know is not available unto you. Ignorance is something completely different than nescience. Ignorance means you remain in a state of not knowing when you could easily come out of that state of not knowing, because all of the data that you need to come out of that state of darkness, of ignorance, is present, but yet you willfully refuse to take it into yourself and change yourself for the better. And this is what was said biblically, again, in the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea. I don't know the exact, passage, but it is, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. And Jesus himself, the biblical Christ figure in the New Testament allegory, said and gave his only prescription for freedom to his disciples in the New Testament. When they were asked, how do we come out of the bondage of slavery of the Roman Empire and all of its, emperors? How can we really become truly free to pursue what we want to pursue in life, our spirituality, etc., and be truly free to express ourselves and live as sons and daughters of God? And Jesus' prescription biblically in the New Testament was, know the truth. He didn't say anything about creating a religion. He didn't say anything about worshiping him. He said simply, know the truth. And the truth that he was talking about is the laws of the creator of the universe, the laws of the heavenly divine consciousness that is the creator of all things and all laws in all of nature. He said, know that truth. Know the moral laws of creation. And then we'll come out of slavery. Then we'll reach the promised land of true freedom. And let me tell you something. This species is one of the purest forms of satanic ignorance that has ever existed, possibly in the known universe. We are the hardest head case that there is, because we do not want to accept and live according to the true laws of the creator of the universe. Instead, we want to believe we can make up our own law and somehow prosper and somehow benefit and somehow be free. And I'm here to tell you folks, it doesn't work that way. The laws of the universe are not that way. They are not set up that way. You are never going to change the active laws of the universe. They are set in stone. They are eternal and they are immutable. They can never be changed. And all humanity, all humanity is going to do is lead themselves deeper and deeper into chaos and ultimately long term into destruction and annihilation by refusing to recognize those laws, learn them, and live in harmony with them. That's why people don't like my message, Jay.
Well, I mean, your arms are too short to box with God.
That's right.
You know, it's his way or the highway.
That doesn't mean we don't have free will. See, that's the genius of creation. That's the genius and love
of
creation.
We have free will.
Of course. Of course.
I'm telling you right now, whoever made individualized consciousness knew that we would be in this condition, knew that we would be here.
That's right.
It's out of space and time. I'm just saying that you've got to take a step back, as David Icke says, take a look at it again.
Right.
And when you do, you realize, well, just maybe he knows what he's talking about.
The thing is, people want to insist that their way is better than nature's way. They want to insist that we're going to somehow usurp, conquer, and subdue nature. But yet, we're not even going to have any inkling of how it really works and operates and its laws. And we believe we're going to come out on the positive end of that equation. We're going to get knocked senseless. This is a little toddler stumbling around near the edge of a cliff, thinking if it just leaps over one day, nothing's going to happen to it. And the laws of nature don't work that way. The end. You know, and when you tell people that, they get all like nasty with you. Like, I'm just trying to explain, you know what, there's the edge of a cliff. You might not want to take a leaping dive over it because it's about 10,000 feet to the bottom. And they're like, don't tell me what to do. I know better than all of that. You don't know any different than anybody else. If I want to leap over that cliff, I'll leap over it. Well, hey, enjoy what you get on the other side, man. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get dead, you know? And it's like, there's just no telling this species this. They're too much of hard-headed monkeys. That's really what they are. And at some point, you got to release your attachment to that outcome and realize these people are determined to go over the cliff. The sad part of it is they're going to bring the really intelligent people. They're going to bring the really good people over the edge with them because, unfortunately, we're all together in this mess. We are all one consciousness experiencing this reality together. And what happens to the bulk of humanity is going to happen to everybody. There's going to be some bifurcation and some people spared from what happens to us collectively as a species. This is some absolute BS, new age nonsense approach to what happens on a planet. Like, the planet goes through the collective transformation together, or they don't. This isn't something that, oh, it's going to bifurcate and there's going to be 5D Earth and 3D Earth and the 5D Earth, they're going to go to a heavenly paradise and the 3D Earth's going to experience hell on Earth. It doesn't work that way, folks. You know, this new age BS crap about this spiritual bifurcation, you've been sold the bill of goods not to get you to focus on helping people to rise in consciousness by teaching them, because you're in a Luciferian form of consciousness. You're in the form of Luciferian spirituality that is false spirituality that's teaching you spirituality is a selfish thing, that you only have to focus on yourself and not try to truly morally educate others so that the whole species is raised in consciousness and doesn't go through the negative result, the negative harvest that we're racing headlong toward, you know?
Well,
that's what people have to understand.
You know, yeah. I don't know whether, people that understand and put the work in are going to suffer the same consequence as ignorant people. I just, I'm not on board.
Not when they leave this reality. Not when they leave this reality. Not if after physical, discarnation of the flesh. I would say no, they are not. While we're here actively on the earth, we're not going to escape the fate that everybody else
endures.
Yes, absolutely.
We're all in this together because it's an aggregate of everybody.
That's right. Karma works that way. It's an aggregate system. And after incarnation, it's an individuated system where we all have to deal with what we did or didn't do in life while we were alive. That's a different form of karma. But in the flesh, karma takes place in the aggregate. And that's why we're losing so badly. The team that says we want to be free is badly getting beat and badly losing. And the reason we're losing is because we believe we can simultaneously have a satanic mindset and be free. And I'm trying to explain to people over and over and over again worldwide, you cannot take on a mindset that is truly satanic and prosper and be free. And most people don't even know they're in the Satanism mindset. They don't know they've taken on the worldview of Satanism. Here's the worldview of Satanism. authority exists. That's number one. Number one, authority exists in the flesh. That's primary number one worldview of Satanism. And you could say there's tenets of Satanism, which I've taught, which is egotism. And that's the first form of egotism. Egotism is my laws are the ones we're going to implement. Our laws are the ones we're going to implement. That's collective egotism. Humanity's laws are the ones we're going to implement. We're not going to learn the Creator's laws. You see how that's Satanism? That's satanic thought? Satanic thought, above all else, is me, or even us in the sense of my group, my tribe, my people. That's Satanism. Satanism is egotism run rampant and saying, I don't care what the laws of creation are. We're going to do what I want. We're going to do what we say we're going to implement. That's what most people believe in. Most people have taken the satanic mind into themselves by their very belief in the legitimacy of human authority and law. That's what Satanism is. You think that the God of creation that created the entire manifest reality called nature and the natural living universe and all of the laws that are part of that living, dynamic, creative system shares authority and power and gives it down to the lowliest of creatures and says, go ahead and make up your own laws now. You really believe that? People out there, you really are that dumb to believe that authority is somehow real? I mean, if people still believe that in the modern day and age, and you are not anti-authority, and I don't mean just being like minimalists in government. I'm talking about fully rejecting the notion that any authority could ever exist in human hands, period. You are some of the dumbest monkeys that have ever existed in flesh in the universe. At all times and all places, that is one of the lowest, dumbest forms of consciousness that can exist. And that's why we're in being enslaved. The universe is going to contain this crap, which is what humanity is and has become, unfortunately. It's going to contain this crap and not let it spread like a viral cancer out into other corners of the universe, because it's an absolute cancer. It's a cancer. That mindset is a satanic cancer. And for people not to be able to see that with this much information in the world present, they're Satanists, period. They're not just ill-informed. They're not just uneducated. They're evil. See, that level of ignorance is evil. When you're that dumb, you are easily propagandized by Satanism and its worldview and mindset. And then you become one yourself, and then you propagate evil. And that's what 99.99% of all humanity is. They're so dumb, they've become evil. That's exactly how Satanism works in the world. Exactly how it works.
When I think about how much I've learned in the last 20 years or so, I mean, I can't even talk to most people about what I know.
Yep.
I mean, it's just...
because they're complete abject morons in every capacity possible.
It's like talking to a rock.
A rock has more consciousness within it. I mean, that's not even a funny quip, you know, allegorical statement. You know, they are dumber than a rock. Literally, a rock has a form of consciousness that is probably well above the average human being on this planet right now. Sad to say. And, you know, I can make that statement. I can make it number one because it's true.
I can make that too. I'm just saying that people need to do some self-analysis
yep.
on themselves. They need to do some shadow work.
Yep.
You need to take a checkup from the neck up.
That's right.
Where is your head at?
Imagine believing that the violence that is inherent in authority is somehow moral. Could you imagine being that dumb, evil, and completely morally relative of a human being? I shouldn't even use the term human being. That's a subhuman form of consciousness. That's not humanity.
No. I don't feel that way at all, Mark. My corporation bought gas leases from Israel.
So your stock's doing well. I mean, you know, what do you have to worry
the
about?
The Gaza gas field.
Right.
So we're doing fine.
You guys are up. That's right. The profits are up.
It's like, if you don't know by now, it's like we talked a little bit about, it's the same playbook. They just keep repeating it in a cycle.
Yep.
Why are they repeating it in a cycle? Because
they don't have to
it
change
works.
It. That's
it
right.
It works. Let's
no,
have
no need to
war.
Change what works. That's right.
Let's have the another biggest, war.
One of the biggest altars of sacrifice, satanically. Send your young children that know nothing, that are know-nothing imbeciles, off to war in ritualistic costumes and outfits beset with occult symbolism, and let them kill each other in ritual sacrifice.
Well, you know? Can't take them to the top of the pyramid and rip their hearts out. People will get upset.
It would be a little apparent.
But you can kill them with a war.
That's right. Ritualistic, satanic, human sacrifice.
That's
and
all
and
it
imagine
is.
All the dumb dolts out there that say, I'm so proud of our veterans. I'm so proud of our military. You don't even understand they're involved in occult human sacrifice. That's how dumb
the
people
thing
who
is,
say that are.
Other than World War II and maybe Korea, was there any military use of American forces that was other than raping and pillaging some third world country?
I'd
name
say
one.
The Revolutionary War and World War II, and that's it. That's it.
That's about it.
Yep. You know?
And who was it that said an ignorant people and a free people is something that has never happened and never could happen?
That was Thomas
that
Jefferson.
Jefferson.
Yes, correct. And that holds true to this day. You know, because an immoral people that are going to come from an ignorant people cannot be a free people, according to natural law. That's how natural law works. If you're intelligent and you recognize the laws of creation and you live in harmony with them, then you're free and you prosper and there's order. If you're an ignorant person, you fall prey to evil beliefs, then your actions, either you're doing evil or you're condoning evil, you're immoral, and then you go into slavery and bondage and ultimately death, extinction, and that's the ultimate form of chaos. And that's where we're headed as a species. We're heading down that path because we refuse to acknowledge we don't know better than nature. And we have to learn nature's laws, and we have to align our behavior to them. And that starts with learning the laws of morality. What a right is, what a right is not. Which behaviors we do have the right to conduct, which behaviors we don't have the right to conduct. Stop doing those behaviors, stop condoning those behaviors. That's the solution. The solution is apophatic. It is negative. It means you implement the solution by what you stop doing, by what you cease to do. The solution is not implemented in an affirmative sense where you have to tell people, do this, do that. No, it's the exact opposite. You have to morally educate people such that you are able to inform them, stop doing this. Stop doing that. Stop condoning this. Stop condoning that. Stop condoning the belief in authority. Stop participating in the belief in authority. Stop engaging in anything that holds as one of its principles or tenets the belief in authority, which is government, which is all of the other institutional walks of life that we have created that have never done the things that they say they're going to do. Have governments created freedom? Have banking institutions created prosperity? Have education institutions created true education and knowledge? Have religious institutions created real spirituality? No. None of that. Have this medical institution created health? No. Why are we clinging on to things that don't do the thing, the very things that they claim they're supposed to do? Because they were never created to do those things. They were created to invert and undermine those things. And we shouldn't have any faith in those institutions because they're rotten not only to the core, but from their inception, they're rotten to the core. From their very thought process, from the thought process that they were created from, was completely false from the very ideological foundations. This is what we have to understand. They were never meant to solve those problems. They were meant to create more problems. They were implemented by Satanism to create more problems and chaos so that we will call for them, for the current masters of the world, do something about it and implement more controls and implement more procedures that will then lock us deeper into bondage and slavery. And the people of this planet are just so painfully dumb. It's unbelievable what the people on this world still believe and still think and still actually believe is going to act as a solution and get us out of this mess. You couldn't be more of a dolt to believe what most people on this planet believe. And they want to cling on to those beliefs with absolute religious fervor. They're cult members. Period. Until most of the people who even listen out there and they're not actively doing true study and they're just trying to listen and they're still confused, they're cult members. They're not just ignorant. They're not just evil. They're in the cult. If you still believe in government, you're in the cult. You're in the satanic cult. You're a de facto member of the satanic cult. That's the cult. The belief in government, the belief in authority that isn't the authority of the creator is the cult. That means you're in the cult. You're worshiping at an altar of Satanism. You're worshiping at an altar of false godhood. You're worshiping at the altar of the self. That's what Satanism, that's Satanism's true altar, the altar of the ego. They're not bowing down and worshiping any gods or entities or Satan as you see that in the religious Christian tradition. They don't believe that. The vast majority of them don't. There are elements of them that do, but it's few and far between. Compared to the whole satanic network, they are worshiping the ego. That's what it is all about. It's about man becoming God. It's about man taking the place of the creator of the universe and implementing its laws, implementing humanity's laws, instead of abiding by the laws of the creator. Make no mistake about it. All the Christians out there, you better get your head out from up your rear end. You better stop believing in government. You better stop believing in military. You better stop believing in police. This is the satanic worldwide beast system that's going to enslave everybody under its banner. And your dumb belief systems are bringing it on more and more rapidly every day because you believe, let's go to the voting booth, let's go to the pulpit, let's go pick a new chief of police, let's go pick a new president. Your dumb dolts who have been inculcated into a satanic mindset and you're worshiping at the very altar of Satan thinking that you're a Christian when you're nothing of the kind.
I'm going to vote so hard, Mark. You'll see.
Jay, I'm voting so hard this election season that it's going to be like a boulder swinging from a big crane. That's how hard I'm voting. You are not going to believe the knockout punch I deliver with my vote. It's going to be so hard.
Well, it was Laura Logan. She said, here we are again. It's Trump against Biden once again. Isn't doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, the definition of insanity?
We got Alzheimer's man versus megalomaniac man once again. Neither one of them knowing one thing about true nature and the true laws of the universe or the creator. And each believing
they
we can force
principles.
People. No.
They don't have any principles.
But that's a reflection of most of humanity. See, what we get on the macrocosmic scale is the same as goes on the microcosmic scale. The average dumb dolt doesn't have any principles, so this is who they're getting on the external, in the macrocosm. You know, that's how the universe works. It gives us something that is reflective across all scales of creation. Mm-hmm. And if we're ignorant on an individual scale, look at the ignorance we're going to get on a collective scale. See, that's the genius of the universe and its design. It's brilliant. It's wonderful. It's magnificent. It always is functional. It always works. It's always true. You know, again, I can't complain about anything about the wondrous justice system that is the natural world. It's perfect in every conceivable way. It's humanity that's completely effed up and broken.
It all goes back to the programmable state.
Yep.
They gave us their mind.
That's right. Carlos Castaneda. You know, mm-hmm. From their perspective, it's brilliant. From our perspective, it's devastating. But they gave us their satanic mind. That's exactly right. That's how it works. And I just hope people within the sound of our voice are really listening to what's being said and taking it to heart and really understanding the change that they have to make in their mind. You got to stop believing your satanic beliefs. You've been given satanic beliefs by the entire world system of Satanism to latch onto and believe in with religious fervor, and then to say, you can't be wrong. I can't be wrong. I can't be duped. I couldn't be given this belief system by Satanists, and this is my entire belief system in my entire life. I'm not going to abandon what I've thought my entire life. You've been given a religion. You've been given false religions by Satanists that were giving people these religious, false religious thoughts since thousands of years before you were born. And you aren't intelligent enough to figure it out. That's the problem. You got to become way more intelligent to be able to see their playbook. And you haven't as of yet. And that's why they're still kicking our rear ends all over, up and down the court, up and down the field. They're kicking our rear ends all over the joint. Because people just aren't intelligent enough to see their playbook yet. Jay, thank you, man.
Well, thank you so much, Mark. It's a good series. I'm enjoying this.
Me too.
Well, that's all the time we have. I'll see you on Saturday, folks.
Listening to Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
We've been-
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest...